AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Thank you, Vicar. Hello and welcome. We gather once again in the place where sinful members of the Greatest Hits audience gather to tell their tales of deceit, debauchery and deception. They seek dispensation from Sister Susie, who is back from the pub, although she's actually in the pub right now. Is that right?
I am indeed.
Okay, very good. All quiet there? Not open?
Not open. Yet? 4 o'clock.
Okay. Brother Matt's here?
Yes, I am, yeah. Yeah. Also not open.
Okay, well, that's very reassuring. Do you open at 4 when you go on air? Very good. Yeah. Right, on with the service. Coming up, we get to hear what an Easter egg hunt at Matt's house involves.
What they should have done, of course, is a picture of an Easter egg, because no one's going to nick that. If you just leave a picture under the Easter egg, then everyone gets an Easter egg.
What a stingy...
Well, it does mean that you only take the eggs that are meant for you, don't you?
All the kids are in your road. Let's go round to the Williams house.
Look at the pictures. That looks good, doesn't it?
Tasty.
Yes. Then you obviously would trade those pictures in for one egg.
I've collected 20 images.
Yeah, 20 images
and
equals one egg.
For a small...
One small egg.
Also, probably there'll be the hollow ones which taste of nothing.
That's true.
Ones.
Although, to be honest, the kids in my street don't knock on our door ever since the Halloween thing where I was...
That's right, and you were having some kind of bondage party.
Where I made it very clear that they better be packing some manners underneath that costume if they wanted any sweets. Since then, not many people
gather
knock
around
on our door.
Wow.
Scary Uncle Matt.
Yep.
More confessions that are not suitable for broadcast will be included in the podcast. We'll be back at the parish notice board for some correspondence, another confession from the crypt, and of course, you get to hear this week's confessions from the Drive Time show on Greatest Hits Radio, including Tony and Becky's Easter confession, Hunting High and Low, Nigel's school sibling confusion, He Ain't Heavy, also R. Kayla's confession, Get Out Your Seat and Jump Around, Jump Around.
Jump Around, House of Pain.
Jump Around.
That's the one. That works, actually. The title works and the band works. But first up, Donald's confession. Pass the slide rule on the left-hand side.
Simon Mayo's confessions.
We won't tell anyone.
What?
Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Donald has sent in today's tale. Father Simon, Brother Matt, and Sister Holly, Katie, Susie. I would like to bring to you my... 12 certificate, by the way.
Oh, really? Good news.
A little bit of a 12, definitely. I'd like to bring to you my confession, which happened around 1982 in a time when daily newspapers were a thing, school teachers wanted an easy life, and the addresses for TV shows and the BBC was common knowledge. Back then, we were enthusiastic 11-year-olds in a strict Catholic middle school. Headmaster himself was the local priest. Our class teacher was a fine example of many teachers of that era, who would expertly multitask by teaching Latin while smoking roll-ups at the front of the classroom.
Of course he did, yeah.
Wow.
To reduce his workload, we would have the most basic homework test at the start of each lesson. He would read out the questions, and then we would swap our tests with our classmates to mark. This is a fairly standard thing, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then he read out the answers. He would then give the tests a quick glance over to make sure everything was in order. Myself and a few other pupils were what could be described as of a less academic persuasion, then he says, I'm sure Brother Matt will understand.
Yes, of course.
We were frequently being made to stay in detention time to relearn our homework. We're also made to sit right at the front of the class with our desks butting up to the teacher's desk deep in the clouds of tobacco smoke. And then we realised that if we filled in the answers on our friend's paper when we were doing the test as we were marking it, we could get very good marks indeed. And our detention avoiding scheme was so successful that we had plenty more time available during and after school whilst waiting for music lessons and the like. And as we were now Mr. Wilson's most trustworthy and obviously academically smart pupils, even though we'd been cheating, the time available, we were the perfect choice to be allocated the task of tidying and sorting his huge sack of newspapers, which he collected to raise money for the guide dog, some sort of recycling money-back scheme, I think. What sounds like a tedious task of sorting newspapers was actually a highly sought-after job amongst many an 11-year-old boy, as in those days, several newspapers encouraged readership with interesting articles and pictures on page 3. Even better articles in the newspaper that specialised in the sport on Sunday, almost every page had such articles and pictures.
Mm.
So one day we gladly set to work sorting out all these newspapers into neat and tidy piles. It was while doing this very tedious task that we came across a strange booklet of postcards, each with the title, "For your free brochure, please complete your details and return using the free post address." If you remember the free post addresses. So we thought, well, who wouldn't want a free brochure? Our mate John, who never gave us a decent mark in any of the tests, he would love a free brochure and a year's supply of junk mail, perhaps a few teachers, care of the school address, maybe the headmaster. And so we helpfully completed several addresses. After running out of easily to hand addresses, we moved on to celebrities and presenters of TV shows, mostly at the famous London W12 address,
known
by every child at the time who watched Saturday morning television. A couple of weeks passed and we'd completely forgotten about the postcards. That was until one morning when the usually unpopular John had a crowd around him and he was gleefully showing off his mail that had arrived that morning. A brochure. And unlike the Argus brochure, you didn't have to go through to the shower and bathroom section. In fact, you didn't have to open the brochure at all. There were many forgetful ladies in this magazine who'd forgotten to wear much.
Right.
The one and the clothing that they had remembered seemed to be lacy and leather kind of thing. Although it did have, just like the Argus catalogue, a particularly large toys section, which to us at that time was less exciting and made us think being a grown-up would be particularly boring if that was the sort of toy that you played with.
Wow.
It's only now in my later years that I appreciate the need to confess and ask for forgiveness. Not for our results-fixing test process, because I believe this gave us confidence and taught us about fortune, rewarding the brave and taking opportunities in life. Maybe Holly's sister Katie thinks I should ask for forgiveness for the consequences of our actions that meant our Catholic headmaster had to try and explain to his secretary why he'd started receiving a regular supply of catalogues featuring adult leatherware and other paraphernalia, addressed to him directly by name, no less. Although he was our cane-wielding headmaster, so I feel no forgiveness necessary.
Well, hey,
different times.
Mm. Yep.
I do, however, feel I need to ask forgiveness to all the hard-working TV presenters at various TV stations that had their mornings interrupted by brochures that arrived, distracting them from all the hard work that kept us entertained on a Saturday morning. So I lay my confession over to you and your listeners to see if I get any forgiveness. Well, Donald has been up to...
Donald.
No good, yes. And I suspect I could tell Sister Susie developing sternness as we went through. What do you say, Sister Susie?
Yes, Donald, you are pushing your luck. That's all I can say. And I will say, you don't need to ask forgiveness from the TV presenters because I can tell you, they never saw those brochures. They probably went straight in the bin in the post office. However, you do need to ask for forgiveness for the fact that you cheated on the tests. But the fact that you ordered the brochures in the first place, you shouldn't be looking at that. You should be concentrating on what you need to do to pass your test. That's what you're there in school for, not for the other.
Well.
And frankly, very childish behaviour, and I can't forgive you whatsoever.
Exactly. This is what we expected. Brother from another guy.
I mean, of course, that's entirely reasonable. However, I mean, on the other side, you know, I mean, none of us condone spam, obviously. But, you know, if you're offered the opportunity of availing yourself of one of those catalogues and sending it to the headmaster, you're obviously going to take that. And and obviously, you know, the TV presenters are never going to see them. That's fine. And also, he was wielding his cane, wasn't he? What goes around comes around, sunshine. So here's your catalogue. And with you, well, we don't need to go into details.
I'm going to send my junk mail to Matt.
What was in that catalogue?
Adult paraphernalia.
Yeah, well, we don't need to go into that now. So for that reason, go to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Astonishing reasoning.
Yes. You could spot the moment there where I realised, no, I'm not going to name any of the things in the catalogue. Not going to name those things in the catalogue. That's what I was thinking right
then. Is that right?
Yeah.
Did you ever use a slide rule?
Slide rule, no. That was just before my time, I think. Just missed out on that.
Did you ever use one, Susie?
No.
I mean, Holly's looking at me as though it's a foreign language. Do you know what a slide rule is? No, she doesn't.
So she's explain even, what a slide rule
is. She's not even on mic.
No, yes.
That's how out she is.
So uninterested in the slide rule chat.
That's what she is. She's actually arranging a piece of classical music for her choir at the same
That's
time.
Right. Writing
I don't know,
aria.
I never used one either, but the smart kids had a slide rule. We just had like a book of logarithms.
A book of logarithms.
Did you not have those?
Crazy days. No, I didn't have one of those either. A book of logarithms.
Yes. Okay. And then you looked at, it was like...
And you looked at the book of logarithms.
Well, it helped you solve problems.
Wow.
You kids with calculators, you don't know.
Bring forth the book of logarithms.
Yes, and it was cosines and sines and tangents and logs.
And logs, lovely.
Because there was the joke about the constipated mathematician who worked it out in logs.
Oh, right, yes.
With a pencil.
Okay.
Anyway, that's... Yeah. Hey, it's a podcast. We can say whatever we want.
Yeah.
How racy is this? Anyway, right, updated parish notice board to see what's been happening this week. Don't forget, it's your notice board. It's a community notice board. So you have to get in touch. Emails and tweets and reviews to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Yes, and we never get bored with five-star reviews. And we've had another flurry of them for last week's service, including from Lena M20. 5 stars. I've listened since the 1980s. So glad that this is back as a podcast. I'm not able to listen live due to work, but have followed the Confessions in all their incarnations since the start. Got the books, even went to a recording of the TV show back in the day.
Wow.
If you want a podcast to make you feel better about yourself and have a really good laugh, then this is the one for you. The TV show. When was that?
That was mid-90s.
Mid-90s. So that is a while back. Chid 101. That is, wow, literally pre-Holly.
Holly wasn't born. But it was we did about 4 seasons.
Four series, wow, okay. Yeah. Not surprised, that wasn't a surprise voice. Chidge 101 says, 5 stars, fantastic podcast, newbie listener and first-time reviewer for a podcast. I love this podcast. It keeps me chuckling away while driving all over the Southwest. Keep up the good work. I may submit my own confession at some point. Yes, please.
I found out that the TV show had been cancelled from an ice cream seller on Dartmoor.
What?
I was on holiday.
BBC Communications at its finest once again. Yeah.
Absolute classic. And you queue up to buy the family,
ice cream. Yeah.
Nivis and Zoom.
Feasts.
And the ice cream seller said, I see your show's been cancelled then.
What?
I went, really? Yes, in the paper, mate. Oh, yeah. So I pretended I knew.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So then the journey home from the holiday was fantastic.
Yeah.
You can imagine.
Yeah.
Great. Show's been
cancelled. Make those feasts last.
Valerie in San Francisco, Father Simon, Brother Matt and Sister Susie, and obviously Sister Holly.
Obviously.
Busy working
of course.
On
off mic.
Things.
Yep.
Re-Fluffy Fanny, which was the code word from last week. I'm giving the Confessions podcast a 5-star review. I absolutely love the banter and the giggles from you all in such a relaxed manner, especially Holly. I once remember, even though she's not paying attention, I once remember a confession that I'd love to hear again. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it was something about kids in an attic and they find some fancy dress costumes and then dress up. I think one of them then fell through the ceiling wearing a silly costume, and all of them ended up running out of the house. Hope you guys can remember it and discuss. I mean, kids falling through the ceiling is a very good, and I think I do remember that, because you'd then fall through the ceiling dressed as a zebra.
Oh, right.
I think it was a bear.
Was it a bear?
I think it was a bear. Oh, yeah.
Okay, dressed good. As a bear. Okay. Well, obviously, we love getting 5-star reviews on emails. We actually would prefer it if you do it on the place where you get your podcasts, because that helps us, really. So we need 5-star reviews on wherever you get your podcasts. Otherwise, it doesn't count.
Yeah, I mean, we're not saying Valerie. We're not trying to.
We don't know.
Valerie.
Not appreciated to Valerie. We're just saying, you know,
we're trying to build our build our audience in San Francisco. I think it's two people.
Just the two.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. If you download this and you live in San Francisco or kind of vaguely around there, and you're not Valerie in San Francisco,
yes,
then get in touch. Let us know. We'll dedicate a whole podcast to you. Then you pick up, Matt.
Do I?
Yes. Oh, no, you've already said
No, I've
that.
Already done my bit.
Susie picks up. No, it's me. Susie, what correspondence have you selected from the postbag, from the notice board? For the notice board.
For the notice board for and the from notice the notice board.
Yes, for yes. and from and of and by with. Yeah.
Yes.
And to.
Well, I've got a request from David, who's after one from the crypt.
Yes.
And he said, "Hi, Simon, Matt, Susie and the team. The confession I would like to hear is the one, I think it was a lady, who said to her child that she didn't like roundabouts, so she would close her eyes and hope for the best."
That's true.
It was one of the funniest I've heard. Great show as always, David.
Yeah, I remember that was a couple of years ago. It was one of those, it was a terrifying, it all built up to this one, that one moment on the school run, didn't like roundabouts, closes her eyes and just hopes for
so
the
was
best.
This like a mini roundabout or a it can't be a can't no, possibly mean a normal roundabout.
A normal roundabout.
A normal roundabout?
Yes.
How's she
I
getting
don't
over
think
the
she
roundabout?
She actually closed her eyes. I think she it was one of those where you lied
well,
to your children.
Blinked.
She got her child to close her eyes as well. And then she obviously like peeked through one eye, I think.
Oh right, well that's perfectly safe then.
Or she
But
got,
the
or...
child didn't think that she did.
I think the kid was doing that.
Oh, I see. So she was telling the child to close her eyes and she was pretending
yes.
to close her eyes.
At the time
eyes.
We found it hilarious.
Oh, very good. Very Absolutely good.
David.
Yes.
Yes. My mum used to blow at traffic lights when she could see it turning orange on the other side, and I thought she was magic, and she used to make all the traffic lights go green
just by breathing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is yeah, fooling kids when you're in the
yes.
car. As I when we first got a car where you didn't need a key, you just need to press the button.
Yes.
And I would tell my son, this car only works if I say these words: "Daddy's behind the wheel," and then press the button and it would work. And I'd say, "You try saying it in the front seat," and obviously it didn't work.
A little bit Alan Partridge.
Yes, very, very "Daddy's behind the wheel." Yeah.
This says, Simon, Susie, Holly and PM Matt. Oh, I imagine that's you as Prime Minister.
Prime Minister yes. me, yeah, quite right.
My dad, Stuart Lee, and I have... Oh.
That's Stuart Lee?
And I have loved your confessions since the dark days of despair. And have enjoyed... Oh, I see what you're...
Yeah,
2018
yeah.
is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And have enjoyed listening to many podcasts together. Now I am in Vancouver, Canada, and he's at home in Scotland. I love knowing that he's listening as well, although we're 4,000 miles apart. Any chance you can give him a shout-out and maybe send a piece of tat or memorabilia his way? Many thanks for years of laughter. So glad to have the Dream Team back. From Stuart's daughter, Lena Lee. Lena, thank you very much indeed. Well, I don't think we're going to send any tat to Vancouver. Oh, because that's a little bit expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And we're moving house, so I'm not sure we can afford that. But can we send some tat to Lena?
Well, I'm sure we can find something.
Slight delay.
long delay. That was the kind of delay before you do the, well, think about that. Yeah, yeah, no, certainly think about it. Yeah.
Well, her dad's in Scotland, so that's not so expensive.
No.
We just need to find something.
Holly, you're in charge of the tat cupboard. Is there anything that we could send to Lena? Sorry to interrupt.
No, it's absolutely fine. I think there's a couple of gingerbread Kens kicking around. We can maybe
oh,
I need
fine.
To check the use by date
so
on those,
definitely,
but I think we'll
passed.
Be fine. Yeah,
we're not saying you just they just want tat from the
soft.
Cupboard. It's tat from the cupboard. Just don't eat it.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you very much indeed for everything you're sending us. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Quick few mentions from me for Helen Coggan, Simon Clark, Pam Douglas, Vicky Beale, Chris Quelch and Bill Pickard, who are amongst the many brave enough to tweet the secret phrase from last week's podcast, which was, of course, Fluffy Fanny. It was perfectly innocent. It's the name of a pudding.
That is, yeah. It was the jelly, wasn't it?
Keep
yeah.
listening through to the end of this podcast to pick up this week's secret code phrase, which hopefully won't cause the algorithm to send you a lot of dodgy material. Now to Matt's favourite bit of the podcast, the section where we join him in the gutter, because that's where he lives in North London, to trawl through the his particular part of North London.
Yes, wow. Obviously.
From the filing cabinet marked not for broadcast, due to the very tight rules which have been created by the guardians of...
Tea Time Radio.
That's right. And also mm-hmm. Susie and Holly. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Miss C is confessing on behalf of her dad's cousin Fred, who, while working as a policeman back in the 70s, got bitten by a dog. To get his own back, I don't think that's the way the police are supposed to work.
To get his own back?
To get his exactly. own back. He decided to throw the dog into a nearby lake.
Right, no. Well, we definitely can't do
it. Just so happened wow. that the dog in question was of the corgi variety, or a corgi, as it's known, yes. with a very, very famous owner who is no longer with us.
Ooh.
Really?
Wow. Okay.
You're gonna
hang on. How do you know that it was...
going to throw one of the Queen's corgis into the
That's
river.
That's amazing.
Sent to the tower.
Definitely.
Yeah.
When Fred realised he'd been spotted by a security guard, he dived into the lake and rescued the dog. So he actually had to...
Hang on.
Very happy it's that like the corgi was saved from a watery death. Also, the famous owner was very thankful, and Fred was awarded a medal for bravery.
No? What? Hang on. Right, there's a number of questions here. Number one, how has the corgi got out on its own? And
he saved him.
So the Queen thought that
the corgi's broken away, hasn't it? The corgi's escaped, and it's bitten him. He's chucked it in the lake. It belongs to the Queen, and I've been spotted by a security guard.
But they only noticed the fact that he was saving the corgi.
I think the security guard spots him hoying it into the lake, and then decides.
But how come he's got a medal?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, he shouldn't be getting the medal, should he? You don't get a medal for throwing the dog in the lake and then rescuing it.
No, but Her Majesty must have thought, this person rescued my dog.
Okay, I mean, obviously we're assuming it was the Queen's corgi.
Could have been another famous person. Could be another famous person.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Turn a penny. Jamie and his mates, they sent one in, not for broadcast. They found a crate of beer that actually fell off the back of a lorry. What we need to mention here is that Jamie and his mates were all under the legal drinking
age. That's why it's not on the radio.
It's not on. Nope. To consume the beer, you all told your parents that you were staying in each other's houses. Classic. And disappeared to a private wood to camp and consume your first sips of alcohol. Not being enamoured with the taste, no one ever is, you then threw a full back can of beer onto the campfire and caused a mini explosion, which you all fled from for fear of notifying the gamekeeper. The gamekeeper?
The gamekeeper was staying with the parkie.
Absolutely, yes.
With a blunderbuss.
Wow. When asked by some friends you bumped into while escaping what that loud noise was, you said it was the gamekeeper firing his shotgun at you, which caused various rumours and horror stories being told of the poor gamekeeper for many years to come. Gamekeepers, those are back in the day, aren't they?
Yes. Have we had any confessions from gamekeepers?
I don't think we have. I'd like some of that.
Paul sent in one as well, who spiked the orange juice in his dining hall with a laxative.
Oh, right. Okay. Automatic none. No.
So this is also it's a useful thing for us just to repeat. If your confession involves a laxative, it will not get broadcast.
No.
Nope.
Because it's not big. It's not clever.
No, it's not.
It's especially not tea time appropriate. And to be frank, Sister Susie doesn't want to read them at any time of the day because Sister Susie gets... So basically, laxatives, no. Absolutely not.
Never.
Breaking the law.
Breaking the law.
Breaking the law. Breaking the law.
Yeah, okay. Very good. Let's get back to the confessions that actually did make the cut, which are legal and don't involve laxatives. Tony and Becky's choctastic confession, Hunting High and Low.
Simon Mayo's confessions. Confess all. We won't tell anyone.
So today's confession comes from Tony. Father Simon, I write to ask forgiveness for a most heinous crime committed by myself and my wife, Becky, during the Easter holidays back in 2010. The said crime took place in our friendly, family-run local community cinema, where they had the exciting event of their first ever 3D movie screening.
Ooh.
Wow.
Being a couple of enthusiastic movie buffs, we were very excited about going along to the cinema to watch Clash of the Titans in 3D.
Oh, yes.
In a nice setting with like-minded people. What a great way to finish off our few days off at Easter. This is the movie that starred Sam Worthington, as Perseus, Liam Neeson as Zeus, obviously. And Ralph Fiennes as Hades. Yeah. Oh, my goodness me. Anyway, my wife and I are pretty organised people and, as usual for us, thought we'd arrive at the cinema nice and early to get good seats. When we entered the foyer of the cinema, we were greeted by a really impressive display of promotional memorabilia from various movies, including cardboard cutouts, signed pictures, mugs and other cool stuff associated with the big screen. After stocking up heavily on treats to scoff during the performance, very bad at that, really, really shouldn't do that, we made our way into the auditorium, and this is where, unknowingly, the beginnings of our criminal activity began. Upon finding the seats we deemed suitable, not too near the front or too near the back, we sat down and waited for the rest of the excited 3D film punters to arrive. Time ticked by and we still found ourselves sat alone as we had arrived so early. I started to get restless and thought I'd have a poke around the cinema out of sheer boredom. Wow, you really were early. Mm. In reality, there wasn't much to look at, but lo and behold, below a seat, I found a palm-sized Easter egg, still wrapped and ready for the taking. A palm-sized, that's pretty big.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah, hefty.
As a self-confessed chocoholic, I hastily unwrapped the egg and started munching away, while at the same time having a further mooch around, and a few moments later, I called over to Becky, saying, "Look at this, someone has dropped more of their Easter eggs during an earlier film. They're all over the place. Little outs." In a way that only a couple of middle-aged, and then Tony uses the word skullduggerers, could. I'm not sure that's a word, but we kind of know what you mean, because you're up to skullduggery, meaning roguish intrigue from the Scots dialect term for fornication, which is not what we're talking about.
No, we're not.
Anyway, Becky, just an interesting aside, I thought.
No, I don't think so.
Becky kept watch at the door, whilst I rapidly raced around the cinema collecting a merry pile of eggs in my upturned jumper. Great, we thought. Even more treats for the film. Upon returning to our seats, the cinema began to fill up and we sat with wry little smiles, knowing that we had stopped anyone else from finding the chocolate booty left behind by the careless others. The lights dimmed and the owner of the cinema came in to give a lovely warm welcome to everyone and said how exciting it was to have their first 3D event at the cinema. Becky and I sat scoffing eggs and nodded in agreement. The owner then said she had a nice surprise for some lucky movie buffs who were in the audience. Could everyone look under their seats, please? And anyone who finds an Easter egg has won their pick from the memorabilia in the foyer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Becky and I sank in our seats. Our jaws, which were so merrily chomping on the chocolate eggs, slowed to a stop and beads of sweat began to form on our foreheads. The excited cinema goers were checking under their seats and coming back with a... No luck for me. Some other lucky devils have won at them. The film ensued and for an hour and a half we pondered how we could get around our problem of the buoyant Easter egg haul sat under the coats on our laps. We lowered our 3D glasses, looked at each other and whispered our plan of action. The film credits rolled and with the speed of Linford Christie, we made our bid for freedom. The foyer was ahead of us and as fast as we could, we secreted our Easter egg treasure in every pocket that we could find, except for two Easter eggs. Becky's eyes were struck by the handsome life-size cardboard cutout of Sam Worthington and Julie handed over her egg to the owner who congratulated her. Next to it, it was my turn and I went for a Liam Neeson signed photograph. Remember, he was Zeus. And that was it. We'd done it. We were out of the door with our cardboard cutout, which we later struggled to fit in the car, and me with my signed photograph. Father Simon and the team, we beg you for forgiveness, not only for pinching the opportunity for excited movie-going crowd to enjoy a tasty Easter egg whilst watching a great film, not that great, but also for robbing them of the opportunity to take home some lovely goodies from the glamours of Hollywood. We also apologise to the cinema owner, who's probably highly puzzled as to why no one else was interested in her beautifully displayed memorabilia. Tony, it was an Easter egg hunt! That's what it was.
Of course.
It was an Easter egg hunt. Yeah. For heaven's sake, was there no point in that? We thought, maybe this is not left behind by people previously. This is for people who are about to come in. Greedy boy, Tony. Anyway, Sister Susie speaks first.
Tony, I, like you, really rather like my chocolate. So I was with you for quite a bit of that. However, did you not realise after so many that there was something going on here? It wasn't just things that were left over. And I just don't know if for that reason I can forgive you. So I just, as much as I would have also done the same, keeping watch at the door is where you lost me, and therefore not forgiven. Yes.
There are only so many palm-sized Easter eggs you can eat in one go, I would have thought. Brother from another
country. I'd give it a go. obviously, after you've found the second or third Easter egg, it should have clicked at that point that this is an Easter egg hunt, this is not just people leaving them behind. That said, I'd have done exactly the same. I'd have taken as many as I could, because it's basically what they should have done, of course, is a picture of an Easter egg, because no one's going to nick that. If you just leave a picture under the Easter egg, then everyone gets an Easter egg, and then you can go out in the foyer and pick up your life-size Sam Worthingtons.
Don't go on one of your Easter egg hunts.
Yes, absolutely. That's the way. Oh, and you don't leave, don't tempt me with your chocolate. That would be my response there. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
An Easter egg hunt organised by Matt would be the most... terrible thing. Look, Mum and Dad, I found a photograph of an Easter egg. No, thank you. You do need to upgrade your Easter egg.
Yes. Game. Do you think?
If you go around to Matt's, the heating is off.
Yes.
Cardboard towels.
Correct.
And the Easter egg hunt is a look for pictures,
pictures of eggs. Yeah. That you trade in for a small egg.
Also very interesting use of skullduggerers.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know it meant fornication?
No, I didn't. No. But you sort of enlightened us about that live on the air.
Yes. I thought lewd conduct and obscenity is the kind of thing that we can talk about.
We can get away with that, can we? All right.
Yes,
okay.
We can get away with that.
Still to come on this particular pod, it's a case of mistaken identity in the curry house for our confession from the crypt. Nigel's tale, He Ain't Heavy, and next, R. Kayla's confession. Get out your seat and jump around. Jump around. Jump up, and get down.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from R. Kayla to Simon, the Holy Sanctuary of Extreme Penance and the Collective of Forgiveness. I should say today's confession is somewhat eye-watering.
Oh, really?
Yes.
In a good way? Well, find out.
Not really, no.
Right.
This is a story going back to the late 1980s and has remained so far within the confines of the hallowed halls of Larch Hill, the National Scouting Centre in Ireland, not far from Dublin's fair city. I was in my 20s and had been collared to join the local scout troop as a leader. I have to say, I caught the bug and was surprised just how much I enjoyed the Saturday meetings, the outdoor football with the 7 to 11-year-old cubs, and not forgetting the bi-monthly hikes around the hills and dales of the Wicklow Mountains. Eventually, though, and 6 months into my tenure, to continue as a leader, I required the Wood Badge Leader's Qualification. To that end, I was dispatched to join my fellow recruits for a training long weekend in Larch Hill National Scouting Campsite. This is a 17-hectare site of fields, trees, rivers and hiking trails, and approximately 226 metres above sea level. That's enough information for now. Literally, it's in the middle of nowhere. The nearest pub was in Tibraden, which is about a 15-20-minute hike from the lodge, down through a forest and a very dark country lane and a well-known watering hole for any scouting visitor worth their salt. Therefore, it was a case of getting on with your fellow leader recruits or else. This is important. Most of the leaders were looking forward to meeting fellow leaders, eager to share experiences, learn new ideas. With a merry mixture of male and female attendees, the banter flowed from our check-in arrival on the Thursday night. A few of us decided that on Thursday to head to the pub and get a quick one in before the course started the following day. When we arrived in the pub, we were joined by, let's call him Cedric. Now, Cedric, we were led to believe that night, was a commissioner, one of the higher-ranked leaders, in to coach for the weekend, as he gave this impression by reprimanding us for being in the pub at all on the first night with curfew at 11 p.m. and suggested we hightail it back to the lodge or get penalised. So, regretfully, we all left minus any alcohol, and I guess this was Cedric's first step in the wrong direction. The following day, we realised, as he joined us for breakfast, that Cedric was actually a trainee leader and on the same course as the rest of us. We were furious. Cedric continued to be an irritable pain throughout Friday and Saturday by being very smarmy at Friday night's dinner with all the ladies. By the Saturday lunchtime, both the male and female attendees had had enough of Cedric. It was a cool November Saturday afternoon when we were introduced to the fun of orienteering and taken around the lodge estate, basically a three-hour hike, during which time a few of us ladies decided how much fun it would be to collect holly, for which the estate had an abundant growth, and to stuff some of the holly into each of the lads' sleeping bags.
Okay.
I mean, ouch.
Yeah.
The holly was collected, carefully distributed into each male sleeping bag by me and two other ladies while Annie kept watch. We then decided to wait for the ouches and the oohs as the lads retired. However, lights out were sounded and most of us turned in, and there was a disappointing silence from the male dorm. They'd obviously found the holly, so the shrieks we had anticipated just did not happen. However, what transpired was definitely of a whole different affair, and it is this that I seek forgiveness for, as our holly started the Dominoes of Carnage. Good name for a band. As I said earlier, by the Saturday night, the lads had got fed up with Cedric's behaviour over the weekend and had decided to sort him out. The dormitory had bunk beds, and Cedric, being Cedric, had collared a top bunk, even though it had belonged to another guy, who on this night had moved to the camp bed, as the rest of the lads had decided to loosen the screws on Cedric's bunk bed just enough. And as for all that holly, they put all of it into Cedric's sleeping bag. What we ladies did not know was that Cedric that night decided to try and chat up one of the girls, and by the time he went to bed, the lights were definitely all out, and because he slept without pajamas, stripped and jumped into the open sleeping bag full of holly on a loosened bunk bed, and the whole lot came crashing down. Eye-watering, I think so. The roars from Cedric that night woke the actual commissioner, a man who most definitely needed his sleep, and who was decidedly not impressed at the commotion that was taking place, as he roared for quiet, and about the potential repercussions, we both ladies and gents all bit our lips for fear of the laughter escaping, with quite a few expletives thrown in for good measure. The next morning when we came down for breakfast, Cedric was nowhere to be seen and was gone from the lodge. So I'm not asking for forgiveness from Cedric. With his attitude, smarminess and irritation, he deserved it. Nor for awakening the commissioner. I heard later he chuckled when the bones of the story leaked the following day, and happens to be a legend in Larch Hill to this very day. But I am asking forgiveness for the Cubs, who had to endure a leader who was not trained particularly well that weekend. Well, names have been changed for protection.
Mm-hmm.
Arcala's confession. Interesting Irish scouting story, an awful lot of holly, and a very painful experience for Cedric. What do you say, Sister Susie?
Well, Arcala, I, do you know what? I don't think you did anything wrong here. I think, you know, Cedric didn't sound like he was a particularly nice person. And I know you're asking for forgiveness for the Cubs, but hey, Cedric must have learnt something that weekend that led to being a good leader. And maybe you didn't stay there for very long, so you don't need to ask for much forgiveness anyway. So I am going to give it you.
Obviously, don't loosen the screws on anyone's
obviously, don't do that.
Well,
chairs,
no, don't do
or
that.
Bedding.
But she didn't do that. They were the other boys.
No, that was the guys. That was the guys.
That's true.
No,
yeah.
You're absolutely right. Brother Matthew.
I think we can all agree that Cedric had it coming, not least for his behaviour in the pub the night before, but also for being a bit of a sleaze and all this. Also, who sleeps naked when with everyone else? That's a bit weird, I think. It's a bit like what we've already established, never get naked at work, going for a shower. That's very weird. So,
What if there's a fire alarm?
Well, yeah, exactly. What if there been a fire? Quite but, right.
I mean, the main thing is, it's November.
It is, yes.
Wear pyjamas.
But what's wrong with wearing pyjamas? A little bit too continental for my taste. And for that reason, I'm going to forgive, because yes, he had it coming, didn't he?
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Sister Holly in the house.
Mm-hmm.
People wondering if you've been sacked, and I've been reassuring them.
No.
I'm just in the tack cupboard.
That's what you are.
Mm-hmm.
Nigel says, Simon, team, Drive Time Confessional Collective, do believe I'm probably one of your younger viewers. My tale of deceit goes back to when I was a young schoolboy aged 7 in the year 2000.
Wow.
And as I reflect on that year, a time of transition and anticipation marked by fears of the Y2K bug and the dawn of the new millennium, I'm reminded of the quirky trends and popular pastimes that defined that era. From mastering the art of the Nokia 3310 snake game to the turn of the century brought with it a mix of excitement and uncertainty. I'll have to explain all of this
all of those
later on. In the spirit of those times, I have a confession that's been weighing on my conscience since I was a mere third-year student back in the days when Pokemon games and Game Boys ruled the playground. You see, my brother had shared a story with me a few days prior, a tale of how he had stumbled upon a lost Pokemon game in the playground and instead of keeping it, being the noble soul that he is, returned it to our less-than-observant teacher, Mr. Sharp. Now, Mr. Sharp may have had a name that suggested sharpness, but in reality, he was about as sharp as a marble. Which is a sentence I will remember, yeah, I think. Yeah. After my brother handed the game in, Mr. Sharp said he was going to reward him, but couldn't do it at the time, so sent my brother away in anticipation. I thought no more of it at the time and appeared uninterested as well. It was my brother, and that's just what happened. However, my brother was very excited at the reward that he was going to get, whatever it was, and he wouldn't shut up about it. It was very annoying. Following that, about a week later, I was sitting in class getting on with my schoolwork on what seemed like a perfectly normal school day. However, it was anything but. Mr. Sharp unexpectedly and suddenly barged into the classroom and at the top of his lungs demanded that I share with the class what I had supposedly done the week before. "Nigel, tell everyone what you've done," he shouted. Caught off guard and with all eyes on me, I hesitated, feeling like a deer in headlights. My mind was racing. What could I have done? What possibly could Mr. Sharp want with me? And then it dawned on me. A memory sparked in my mind, the story my brother had shared the week before. It had to be that. It couldn't be anything else. So I took a gamble, and in that heart-pounding moment, I blurted out, in the most unconvincing manner possible, I thought, that I had indeed found and returned the Pokemon game to Mr. Sharp, and I was due a reward. I thought to myself, this couldn't be what he was actually after. But I'd said it, and there was no going back. I mean, me and my brother didn't look anything like each other at all, so there was no way he could have confused us. But this was Mr. Sharp as a marble, you'll remember. Well, to my utter disbelief, Mr. Sharp not only believed me, but praised my supposed act of honesty. He said, "Nigel, what house are you in?" Well, nervously, I replied, "Valiant House, Mr. Sharp." He then declared that I had earned our schoolhouse a whopping 50 points.
Ooh.
50 points to Gryffindor, I mean Valiant. Now you must understand that these points were no trifling matter. They determined which house reigned supreme. And naturally, I belonged to the illustrious Valiant House, the finest house. The school was divided into four houses, Valiant, Petunia, Graphite and Morris.
Graphite?
I think Petunia Valiant...
Petunia and Morris? I mean, what?
I think Valiant is definitely the best house to be in.
Who wants to be in Petunia?
With a quarter of the school in each house. I didn't normally keep track of which house was currently winning, but this changed everything. As it turned out, my fib led to a sweet victory for my housemates as the 50 points rocketed us up to first place. And being near the end of the school year, it was now impossible for any other house to catch up. My fellow housemates were treated to a well-deserved reward, all thanks to a lie I shamefully claimed as my own. My brother was in another house, so he didn't get any points at all. What I got? Well, the reward was a school disco full of chocolate and fizzy drinks and amazing 90s school disco music, a child's dream. A few weeks later, it was time for the disco. All the teachers were present, and I remember seeing the sad look on my brother's face as my mum picked him up and my sister took him home from school and went back home, and they didn't have a party. As I entered the hall, I was greeted the tremendous cheer by all my other student chums. I partied all night long getting drunk on lemonade and getting high on chocolate. When I say all night, it was till half past six, obviously. Because the teachers wanted to go home. Please, Father Simon and the team, please absolve myself for this childhood deception and set the record straight. I ask forgiveness from Mr. Sharp as a marble, although I was seven. I also ask forgiveness from my brother as I had stolen his glory and kindness and branded it my own. And I ask forgiveness from the quarter of the school, actually three quarters of the school, who missed out on the reward, as I know all of them had worked so hard for the points. I think this is now sounding a little bit desperate at the end there, Nigel, but let's see how it turns out for you. Sister Holly, back with a stern face, I think.
Absolutely, yes. I feel very, very sorry for Mr. Sharp in all of this. You know what? He teaches hundreds and hundreds of students, and it's very difficult to remember every single person's name. And so really, in that moment where he said, "What have you done, Nigel?" you could have just, I don't know, stayed silent or maybe said, "Oh, I don't know what you're talking about," and corrected him. But no, you didn't do that. You lied and said that you picked up the Pokemon game and then managed to reap all of those rewards of the disco and the house points, and your poor brother got nothing. So for all of those reasons, not forgiving at all.
However, Brother Matthew.
Well, I feel sorry for Mr. Sharp's students, because he sounds pretty thick. Also, I mean, what did he gain by this? All he gained 50 house points, which don't exist.
And a disco.
A disco. Chocolate. Well, they're probably going to have the disco anyway. And for the House of Valiant against Petunia and
Graphite.
Rainbow Trout and whatever else, Delicatessen. Let's name it after random things, shall we? What kind of school was this? The kind of school that employ Mr. Sharp as a teacher. That's which. What kind of school? So for that reason, I'm going to forgive, because it's obviously the system's fault again. Move on.
That was increasingly surreal as we went through that one.
It was a little,
Sister Holly back on the profession there. That was because Sister Susie's line, I think did it disappear, Susie, I think?
Yes. I think someone unplugged something somewhere.
Yes.
And they were changing the barrels.
We should probably explain for anyone who's joined us since last April. Susie is the big boss producer of the show.
Yeah.
And she lives in a pub, hence the drinks trolley. But she's been away doing other more important work, basically producing a child.
Yes.
And very good work, by the way. Your best production, I would imagine.
Yes, he is. Although he has got a confession of his own. From nursery yesterday, mortified when I heard my other half picked him up. And he had finished his lunch and then grabbed a fistful of hummus from the child that was sat next to him and shoved that in his mouth.
Okay, well, I think that's...
So he's stealing food already.
I seem to remember we did this before, children's confessions, toddler confessions. It might just be a single line.
Yeah, no, we did do that, didn't we? Yeah.
My boy Ted stole hummus and shoved it in his face.
Shoved it in his face.
So, you know, we can do those. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Sister Holly is still here, aren't you?
I am.
Sorry.
Hello.
Sorry, don't drag you away.
And unlike Chris Quelch suggested on Twitter, we haven't locked her in the tack cupboard. She's busy making the show sound as tip-top as she can.
Trying my best, yes.
But still, obviously, you can only work with what you give.
You know.
Exactly. Yeah.
And this week's request comes from Lizzie, who says, Simon, Matt and Holly. And Susie. The confession that I'd like to hear again was my introduction to confessions. It was the first one I ever heard, and it set the bar too high because I'm yet to hear one that made me laugh as much.
Well, you know, I mean, it's a compliment in a way. Yeah.
Well, not really. It means we've been going downhill since Lizzie turned on. You read it out while I was on my way to a dentist appointment. Ah, now we get to the heart of it. And while this detail weirdly won't be enough to help you find it, correct? It did help me pinpoint the date it was played, 18th of January, 2022. Thanks so much if you feature this on the podcast. Lizzie, thank you very much indeed for pinpointing it as accurately as you did. And I'm sorry that we've been going downhill
sorry.
For 2 years.
Yeah.
2 years we've been doing it.
So sad.
Okay, so I hope you've got the date right, Lizzie, because you've given us no other clues at all. So fingers crossed, it was Martin's tale, What's His Face, which is the one you wanted.
Something to confess? Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Simon and Susie and the brother from another gutter, says Martin. I seek forgiveness for an event that happened in the mid-90s. You see, my partner and I decided to go for an impromptu curry at one of Bradford's finest curry restaurants. Bradford, of course, is synonymous for its curry houses. However, we chose to go to the finest curry house in Bradford. Indeed, may I be so bold as to say the finest in the country.
All right, here we go.
Okay. Going to feel very hungry very, very shortly. Such was the excellence in their food they once cooked for Princess Diana. That's how far up the pole they are. The restaurant, as you can imagine, was divine in its high standard of cuisine and presentation of its decor, its tables and its staff. The tables had magnificent white tablecloths, wine glasses and cutlery. All the waiters wore white shirts and black trousers, and nothing was too much trouble from the moment you walked in, unlike some of the less savoury establishments that I could mention. But fortunately, I'm not, and even if I had, you'd have taken it out.
Yes.
When you walked into this restaurant, there was a reception area where you could peruse the menu whilst imbibing a nice cold Kingfisher beer or two. And we kind of, my partner and I, we leisurely discussed the menu. Plain rice or palau rice, always a tricky one. Prawn buna or vegetable biryani. Lamb madras or chicken to piazza. It's tricky. We were sat facing the entrance as we discussed this, and this was the time that another couple entered the restaurant, and quite clearly the guy recognised me. Being polite, I acknowledged his presence, but for the life of me, couldn't remember who he was. This put me a little bit on the back foot because I couldn't recall him. Him, nod and smile. Me, nod, smile, no idea.
Oh, right.
We've all been in these situations. This set my mind racing as to who he was. Well, they decided, this couple, to go straight to their table. We followed soon after. We were shown to our table. We were seated directly behind them, such that I would see the back of the guy's head as I looked over my partner's shoulder. Who is this guy? I kept asking myself, driving myself crazy. We had a lovely meal anyway, a few more kingfishers. are other beers, but, you know, the kingfisher is working quite well. And all the while, I was tormenting myself for the guy's name. Well, it quite quickly came to a head. In fact, everything seemed to happen at once. After our meal, my partner decided to powder her nose, and at the same instant, his partner decided to powder her nose. The smartly dressed waiters brought our blindingly hot towels, blast furnace hot, to wipe our hands and faces. It suddenly dawned on me I did know who it was. It was Nigel, and I hadn't seen Nigel for years. I used to go to school with him.
Ah.
What better way to let on than to creep up behind him and rub the fiercely hot towel in his face? Nigel! I exclaimed as I rubbed the towel in his face. You can imagine the shock and awe as the skin was peeling from his face. The unintelligible guffaws added to my glee. The harder I rubbed, the more shocked he was. Nigel, how are you? I held the flannel firm.
No.
Nigel writhed under my firm hand. I carried on pressing the soft cloth to his face. Must be 20 years.
Carrying on.
You haven't changed a bit. From under the towel about now, I just heard him cry, I'm not Nigel.
Obviously, yeah.
Oh, I thought, who the hell is Nigel? My name is Tony. Apparently it transpired he'd once run a pub, and that's how he recognised me, because I used to go into his pub every now and then to buy Kingfisher. It also came to light that he had just been released from hospital following a heart attack. Not a line that usually induces mirth, but anyway, it does in these circumstances. I could have brought on another coronary. I never saw Tony after that. So maybe it did. And I never saw Nigel, come to think of it. I trust they both had long and fruitful lives, but I do realise that I need to seek forgiveness for my misgivings, because clearly I made a horrendous faux pas, and I would like to ask forgiveness. From Martin, formerly of Bradford, but now moved away. let's check in then. Shocking story.
Yeah.
Sister Susie from Studio B93.
Yeah, I've moved. I have to say, Martin, excellent use of the word imbibe. That you get a tick in my book from that. And you know what? It happens all the time in the pub. You get people come in, they remember you because there's only one of you, and you see hundreds of people in the pub. And you'll recognise them, and you'll be like, I don't know their name. So I do feel for you, Martin. However, that was a bit mean. It was really, really mean. And
was it?
You didn't have to go that far. You could have just shouted over, waved and said, hello, Nigel. And he would have said, no, it's not Nigel. And that'd been fine. But no, you had to rub the towel in his face and cause a scene. So for that reason, I can't forgive you.
Nigel writhed under my firm hand.
Exactly.
Right. Well.
Not forgiven.
Brother from another gutter.
Right. They just done another avenue there. I happen to know the curry houses of Bradford rather well, but I've never heard of this one.
I didn't name it.
Well, obviously not, but, you know, I've never been to one where they had white linen tablecloths and all of that. The cashmere, I remember going there, they're very good. Anyway, I'm going to say forgiven here because, I mean, you know, no harm done. I mean, apart from the heart attack, obviously. But, you know, everything else was fine. He was fine. And he got two goes at the the towel, and the towel's the best bit, isn't it? So, you know, all forgiven.
I love those towels. You have to tear off the little...
lovely.
Nice.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone.
What?
Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
It has to be said, most Curry House confessions are not of much interest because they involve spice and too much beer and excess. And again, thank you.
Don't get on.
But that one was exceptional. Very good. And Lizzie, I hope you enjoyed that and gave you faith that maybe we can climb to that standard more times.
Yes, hoping.
And maybe if you have a confession that you think will impress Lizzie, clearly it's tough, send it to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Now it's over to Brother Matt for this week's secret code phrase.
And this week's secret code phrase is a fistful of hummus. A fistful of hummus.
If you've listened this far, you can tweet me at Simon Mayo on X Twitter, Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads, or Simon Mayo on Blue Sky.
On the Blue Sky. How many have many people got in contact on the Blue Sky?
There are quite a few.
Seven people.
About that, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Some people have joined Blue Sky just because they've heard it here.
Really?
What's all this about? It's a bit quiet.
Yes.
Anyway, finally, don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe, and keep telling everyone that the Confessions podcast is back. Until next time, from the pub, Sister Susie says...
See you later.
From the tack cupboard, Sister Holly...
Ta-ta for now.
Sorry to interrupt. From the gutter...
Adieu.
And thank you for listening. We'll be back with another sensational podcast next Friday.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
It did say not from the tack cupboard, just to make that clear.
Just to be clear.
It's fine. I don't mind being in the tack cupboard. That's fine. I live there.